Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And it's our 100th episode!
It is! Yay!
Except I kind of feel like one of those animals from, I want to say Henny Penny, but I feel I'm like now mixing my stories. The red hen? The one who baked the bread.
Oh, the red hen. Henny yeah. Penny's the movie where the sky is falling.
Okay, see, I knew I was mixing my stories. I feel like if I'm one of those animals and I came in during the, like, let's knead the bread thing. It's like I didn't help you grow the wheat or cut the wheat or mill the wheat, but I will help you knead the bread because I've been here less than 20 episodes. So here I am in to celebrate the 100th, like I did something amazing.
You did. And, you know, we thank Mariano and Pauline for their work and then... they were originally on here, and then I did a few episodes by myself, and then we had the lovely Stacey join us. So it was a group effort.
It was a group effort, too.
Yeah, group effort.
So because it's the 100th episode, I thought this time we could sort of talk about our favorite health things and not just like... Here's a health thing in general, and we'll try and be objective and tell you the info, but like, this is my health thing, and I love it. Or we don't have to be that extreme, but that's kind of where I went.
I love it.
No, I loved it. Not in the Gollum sort of my precious way, but in the, ooh, hey, I like this. And I like it enough to want to share it with others. That's my level of Gollum-ness there.
Nice.
Is that a level?
A level of Gollum-ness. Anything,
so no. It's the negative Gollum score.
Stupid hobbitses.
Right. That was a bad metaphor all around. But so anyways, one of the things that I've kind of wanted to talk about for many episodes now and haven't because it felt very much more of a just me as opposed to, hey, here's new health info, is Michael Pollan's Food Rules.
Okay.
So
I'm shocked that it's a book.
You're shocked that
I'm
it's a
shocked
book?
That you... That was sarcasm in case you didn't gather that.
I know it was, yes. So, interestingly, I remember I read The Omnivore's Dilemma just because it had so much buzz about it and didn't really care for it because it was just... It was like, oh, so this is... Yeah, this is science. This is science being explained in... You know, this is the history of our hit eating, but yeah, this is a class in a book form. Like... Yeah, why do we all buzz about this? I don't understand. But I don't remember how I came across this book, but I do remember I like picked it up and bought it because it was cheaper. Mm-hmm. It was very cheap, and it was by
I buy
him.
A lot of books that way. You know, oh, right. Hey, this is 99 cents.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that cheap. I think I found it at like a Walmart. Mm. But it was cheaper than The Omnivore's Dilemma, which I hadn't liked. So I was like, okay, I'll give him another try because this one's not that bad. And this one's really simple because it's kind of as it's just titled. It's food rules. It's rules he's kind of collected together about eating properly and how to eat.
Okay.
And so, like, his whole summary of the book is the three sections of the book, which are basically, you know, what should I eat? Oh, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. There you're good. That's the entire, that's not the entire book, but that's kind of the summary of his whole, if you need to know anything about what to eat in life, eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
I'm just laughing because it's not exactly the opposite of what we talked about last week with keto, but, you know, keto is so much protein that I feel like it's eat meat all the time.
Yes. But I remember I was talking about this with a friend and I was like, this would be like my thing if ever I became like a rich and famous celebrity. And they're like, oh, so what do you do to, you know, stay in a healthy weight. It's like, oh, well, I don't follow a diet except the food rules diet. Like, to have a name, you know, you have to have the inter diet here,
right?
The cabbage soup diet, the whatever. I follow the food rules diet, which is not actually a diet at all. It's a lifestyle sort of,
right?
Which I prefer because I need things that sort of can become habits. Mm-hmm. And not like things I have to remember or count or measure or
right.
I always need to be second nature.
I always think that those diets that give you the food plan seem like a good idea until I actually start looking at it and thinking I have to go shop for this.
Right.
And then, you know, I love lists generally, mm-hmm. but when it comes to like a diet that's a food plan, it feels it's overwhelming, and I don't want to go buy, you know, a whole thing of whatever so I can have a teaspoon of whatever spice they're wanting me to use one time.
Well, and the reason I really like this is because a lot of the things in it, like, I call it Michael Pollan's food rules, but it's not, a lot of it is just sort of like traditional wisdom, mm-hmm. almost. Mm-hmm. There's a good number of like sort of grandmother sayings or whatever.
Like proverbs kind of things.
Kind of, yeah.
Or cliches. So
like, and even like one of his first rules, which I really love and I actually really struggle with because of how picky I am, is don't eat anything your great-grandmother wouldn't recognize as food. And he had to do...
Dang it, no Lucky Charms.
Right? Yeah. Anything that colors milk, probably not.
Probably not.
But, like, he originally had it as, like, your grandmother, but then depending on your age, that's not really setting any sort of standard. So maybe your great-grandmother, your great-great-grandmother. I'm pretty sure my great-grandmother is fine because she actually was, I'm pretty sure, born in the 1800s and was a caterer. So... I've been told several times growing up that she would, you know, just be in shock at like me yucking food without trying it and all that. She's like, I apologize. Blame your granddaughter. She did not raise me right. I will go with that. It's all my mother's fault. But no, that he has a lot of these just sort of, they feel almost well duh, and yet we don't really follow them anymore. Like the shopping around the outside of the supermarket. Mm-hmm. I've heard that because all the processed food
is on the inside.
Yep. So save for like, if I need to get dish detergent or something.
Right.
Theoretically, I shouldn't have to go down the aisles. That's never how it works because for some odd reason, I feel the need to go up and down every aisle to make sure I got everything.
Exactly.
But so other things. I love this Chinese proverb of eating what stands on one leg is better than eating what stands on two legs, which is better than eating what stands on four legs. Because they're talking about plants, which stand on one leg.
Okay. The only thing I could think of was like a stork. I'm like, or, you know, or a flamingo.
I could kind of see out the corner of my eye that you looked a bit confused. Yeah, so plants stand on one leg,
okay.
And then poultry stands on two, and then cows and pigs stand up. No. Okay. I mean, they do that in certain cultures, but we don't, so that was not assumed.
Sorry.
Wow.
Okay.
Going past Sarah's whole thing there. Also, the idea that you can sort of not to limit yourself, which I think is another thing I especially struggle with in diets, of like, you can't have what I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I immediately want the thing you just said I can't have unless
exactly.
It's like something I don't eat anyways. Mm-hmm. So there's things like you can eat all the junk food you want as long as you cook it yourself, because that implies like if you're cooking French fries,
right?
That can be a big messy thing of you got to fry the oil and then the potatoes and then clean that all up. So if you have to do all the cooking and cleaning for, you know, these fried whatever have you things, you're less likely to be eating those regularly than if you can just, you know, go to McDonald's and get them and
right.
Someone else has to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone's rule of no snacks, seconds, or sweets except on days that begin with S.
Hmm.
Which basically means the weekends.
Right.
Unless you're in a different country and then you might have a different rule with different languages.
Right. Right. What about holidays? How am I supposed to eat pie on Thanksgiving? Can we change that to something that begins with S?
Or something that begins with T?
Yeah.
Treats on... No, yeah. That would be terrible also. Or you could do that, I suppose. No treats except on days that begin with T. That still kind of works.
Tuesday and Thursday?
Things like that. To not be like, there's nothing I can't have, but to still be sort of moderating yourself. Or this one, and I struggle with this because I have such a terrible sweet tooth, as we talked about when we talked about the keto reset diet and how terrible that would be for me, because carbs and sweets and processed foods, and that's literally all I eat, of eating sweet foods as you find them in nature. So like fruit, and that's it. I'm just like...
Which sounds great, and I love fruit.
Sounds great.
And you know, the one, there's one few above that says if you're not hungry enough to eat an apple, you're not hungry.
Right.
I love apples, but Sometimes I do not want an apple. I do not want a peach.
But that means you're not hungry.
Right.
You have a craving.
I know I'm not hungry. That's the point.
A craving is not hunger. And I always fail at that rule of like, oh, I'm hungry. Eat an apple. I don't want an apple. Then you're not hungry. That's not what the definition of hungry is.
Right. You're bored.
Yeah. Or something. Or you just really want to eat something totally unhealthy anyways, but you're not hungry. That's not what hungry means.
Right.
Or the one I really tried to follow when I was in grad school, because it's just very simple and I can visualize it, is the only eat enough food at a meal. Mixing my words there. Only eat enough food at a meal that can fit in a bowl about the size of your cupped hands.
Right.
Which I really like, because obviously that varies by person to person. So it's not like only eat 600 grams or whatever.
Right.
You know, or only eat 600 calories or what have you. But it's like, hey, if my hands are such and such a size that most likely correlates to my body size.
Right.
To some degree.
I've also heard something similar, which is limit your protein or your meat to the size of the palm of your hand.
Right.
So
yeah.
Limiting the size of, you know, you're not having a 15 ounce steak or whatever, unless you have really big hands.
Well.
Or it's a really thick steak.
I mean, nope. No.
Okay.
I was thinking of the type of people that would have to work with, and then I just got lost on The Rock's cheat day that he showed me. And that's a whole nother,
different...
I might vomit rabbit hole. So won't go there. Instead, I'm going to take a break to get my mind out of that rabbit hole, and we will be back with more of our favorite health advice and tips and what have you. So stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where it is our 100th episode.
Yay!
And we are talking about our favorite health advice and tips and what have you. So, Sarah.
Yes, Stacey.
What are some of your favorite health stuff?
I don't know that I have, like, tips necessarily, but for me, my favorite kind of health stuff is along the lines of yoga, which I don't do as much as I used to, and I need to get back into it.
Right.
Because I know it'll feel good after I stretch out a little bit. It's just that first one where I'm like, oh, I'm not bendy. I actually worked at a place a couple years ago where the office manager was a yoga instructor. So she did a yoga class once a week, which was awesome because I didn't have to leave and go anywhere. I just went to a different room. It was me. It was so much fun. It was a community thing. And it was me. And I was older than the instructor, but everyone else was in their 70s and 80s. So it was really low key.
Wait, the instructor was younger than everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. She was in her 20s. I was in my 30s. And everyone else was in their 70s and 80s. Irene may have been in her 90s by that point. But hey.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. So... for me, that's kind of a combination of, you know, it's good stretching, a little bit of meditation, those types of things. When it comes to food, a lot of the things that we talked about in the last segment from the book that you were talking about, I don't think I said sexment. I think I said sectment.
Okay.
Section and segment was what I was going for.
Okay.
Sure. But like shopping on the outside of the supermarket makes a lot of sense. Not shopping when you're hungry makes a lot of sense. Trying to figure out why you're hungry.
Yes.
If you actually are hungry or if you're bored if I'm bored or if I'm stressed or if I am just wanting comfort, right. you know, those types of things, which is usually when I want chocolate. I'm still trying to figure out moderation, because sometimes I feel like I'm all or nothing.
Uh-huh.
If I try to do something in moderation, then I just go overboard. So I'm still trying to figure that one out. But it's a work in progress for me, always, when it comes to health and wellness and fitness and all that good stuff.
Isn't that just life?
Yeah. Life I used to be a lot better at it. Yeah, it is a work in progress. I wish there was, you know, that easy button where you just go, oh, look, there, fixed it. But yeah, it's so easy to get out of those good habits, mm-hmm. and so hard to get back into them.
Yes.
So.
Well, I think it also, for me at least, just kind of has to be habits. It has to be a, let me focus on making a new habit. A, because I remember reading somewhere, and maybe this is just me giving myself excuses, that you can't really break a bad habit. You have to kind of replace it with a better one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my excuse of, aha, see, I can't break my bad habits. I can't break bad habits. And I haven't yet found that better habit. So stick with the bad habit of eating totally unhealthy carbs, junk, and what have you.
Right.
Because it's the bad habit's fault.
Yes.
Again, nothing is my fault this episode.
This episode, that's the theme. Nothing is Stacey's fault.
Right.
And it's so easy to justify. I mean, we as humans are so good at justifying everything. You know, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I know that I shouldn't be eating this, I don't know, package of Oreos in its entirety. Or, right. you know, but I had a really hard day and I'll go for a walk later. You know, right. Which really doesn't excuse eating a whole package of anything, probably.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's why I don't want to do the ones where you count anything, because then it feels like I'm keeping score, and it's like, okay, so if I did whatever, that's a plus, a positive,
right?
So I can have this negative of a bowl of ice cream because it all equals out to zero, because I'm really good at math,
right?
That's how it works, right? Math.
Yeah, and that, but see, that's, yeah, again, I haven't found that balance between that kind of thing where I am actually keeping track, because I do pretty well because I love lists, mm-hmm. and those types of things, but then that makes it so much harder for me to then try to move on from that, because that's, to me, that's not sustainable forever of, right. you know, keeping a strict calorie count every day. Maybe some people can do that. But then going from that to not going overboard to trying to find the moderation,
mm-hmm.
Still working on that one for myself. Maybe I just have to stick with the anal lists. I don't know.
I mean, I think you kind of just have to make it a part of your, I was going to say life, but that's not quite what I mean. Like, you're not personality either.
Mm-hmm.
But like, In the book that we were speaking about in the first segment,
section,
one of the things, his things he gave was eat like the Greeks or the Japanese or the French or just any sort of traditional diet.
Right.
But not only eating what they eat, but eating how they eat.
They eat.
Mm-hmm. Because it's very second nature to them. And so especially, like, I love it when it's like the ugly American thing, but in America, so they come here and it's like, why do you have these, like, gigantic size, you know,
yeah.
sugared coffees or sodas or what have you,
right?
And that's completely not how they do it at all in their country for eating. And then we're like, why are they so thin? It's like, well, do you see the difference?
Right.
Do you don't get quite how, like, you know, our sort of, well, this is normal, is possibly causing some of that,
right? And if you think about, like, they say that French women tend to be a lot thinner than American women,
mm-hmm.
but what's the traditional picture you see of, like, a little old French lady with her marketing bag? What's sticking out of the top of it? A baguette,
right?
You know, they're eating bread.
Yeah.
So it's not like carbs are the total devil. You can't eat them and still be healthy.
Right.
You just can't eat nothing but carbs.
Yeah, he brings that up, that quote-unquote French paradox. It's like, you eat a lot of white bread and cheese and wine, and what the heck is going on
right.
here? It's like, yes, but they're also eating smaller meals and not really snacking and eating, like, in
right.
a group and not by themselves and not while watching TV. So
right.
there's
and,
a difference.
Yeah, meals probably are more leisurely. So they're actually talking and, you know, taking a bite, then chatting for a while, which
right.
is something you're supposed to do. Take a bite, set your utensil down,
mm-hmm.
instead of just shoveling the food into our mouths like we tend to. I've also seen those pictures of, like, an American breakfast versus
right.
a European breakfast of something like maybe yogurt and some fruit or,
mm-hmm.
you know, a piece of toast and a cup of coffee. Whereas then the picture on the
right.
other side is like muffins and pancakes and eggs and bacon. And, like,
if you really want to shock yourself, you should do that for school lunches and hospital food.
Yeah.
It's amazing how terrible we are at both of those. Mm-hmm. Especially the school lunches
thing. We've agreed that ketchup is a vegetable for school lunches.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I haven't, but it's considered a vegetable.
So, yeah, I think it was Friday or Potato Day a little while ago, and so there were all these facts about fries, and one of them that was like debunking facts was like, okay, I know that this is a thing people think of, but just because fries are a potato and ketchup is a vegetable does not mean you're eating a salad right there.
Nice. My nieces used to call it Tuesday on a bun because every Tuesday it was something on a bun at school. You know, it was a fish patty on a bun. It was a chicken patty on a bun. So it was Tuesday on a bun.
Yeah.
They weren't thrilled with Tuesdays on a bun.
Yeah. But again, it's just such the thing that, of course, school lunches are terrible. That's just how it is. And then you look at the things that people are eating in other countries and I'm just like, right. A, super envious, but also B, you get kids to eat that?
Right.
Because I just go off the assumption that I'm super picky because my taste buds never grew past like 7. So that's why they have, you know, the kids menus here with like chicken tenders and macaroni and cheese. But in other countries, it's like A, vegetables
adult
and B,
food.
Totally adult food. Like adult food you would go to, you know, a kind of expensive restaurant to get here. Hey, that's what we served, you know, 8-year-olds.
Right.
Just like, well, what?
Have you seen the video showing Japanese school children who help make the lunches?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's awesome because I don't know that we're learning.
I couldn't.
We know how to cook either when we get to be adults, depending on how we grow up.
I don't know how to cook. But the microwave. That is what the microwave is for.
Which goes against everything in your book.
Not everything.
Because
if
your great-grandmother wouldn't recognize it, and she didn't have a microwave.
I know. That's the funniest thing about not even my great-grandmother, my grandmother and her sisters, is what technology they will use and what they won't. One of them doesn't have a microwave, but does have a dishwasher. One of them has a microwave and a laptop, but doesn't. It's just like, I have all these things and think that life is wonderful with them. Why don't you have these things? I don't understand the logic behind this.
When you said, don't eat anything your great-grandmother wouldn't recognize as food, I thought of my grandmother, my mother's mother, mm-hmm. who never ate blue food. I mean, I think she would maybe eat blueberries that were naturally blue, okay. But like blue Jell-O, blue, you know, blue drinks, which is actually it's not a bad thing. Those colors really aren't found in nature.
I mean, one of the tips he gives that I, again, find a hard thing to do because it's actually, because again, I eat so much processed food, it would be probably impossible for me to do this with the way I currently eat, is don't eat anything where you can't imagine the ingredients in nature.
Right.
So that's like, A, a lot of those things you can't pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
But that would also be like all those really processed things. I was like, okay, I recognize one of the like 5 words in this ingredient. So I know you're coming from like an actual plant, but you've done a whole gazillion things to it that I...
Right.
What? How did you get here?
Yeah.
Yeah. That I can't do it because I'm super on the processed food and struggling very much not to do that. But then what would I eat? But I think that's a very interesting rule to try and follow and then see what you can actually eat if that's the case.
Right. Yep.
So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where we are talking about our favorite health stuff.
For our 100th episode! I just thought I'd throw that in there again, because yay!
the 100th episode that I'm only maybe about a fifth a part of.
You're still a part of it. Just go with it.
A 20%. That's, you know, like something. A good interest rate.
When TV shows reach 100 episodes, you always see them with these like ginormous conference table size cakes, which is really not. We don't have a cake.
Completely opposite. Say that. Yeah. Also.
Yeah, I mean, we would have to have, I don't know, a kale cake or something. Yeah. Which just, I like kale, but a kale cake does not sound enjoyable.
No. But yeah, so a lot of the tips today, not even tips, just things I found actually implementable. Mm-hmm. Not even sure that's a word, but I'm going with it.
I like it.
Are sort of traditional based. And part of that is it feels like, ha, see, it works because we've been doing it for intern number of years, decades, centuries here.
Right.
And I think that's kind of part of why things like the paleo diet have become so popular, because people are like, look, this is what our ancestors did. This is the whole way we've been doing it. Mm-hmm. We diverged from nature and that's why everything's wrong.
I just decided that I'm going to write a book.
Just this moment decided?
Yep, just this moment decided. And I don't know what the title will be, but the premise will be eat like it's the zombie apocalypse. Because I have some friends who are like amazing. They can, they have their own gardens. They do all of these things. And I'm like, when the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm heading to Minnesota and going to my friend Sarah's house, or I'm heading to New Jersey and going to Caitlin's house because they have things stockpiled. We don't do that anymore.
We don't.
I think there's a subset of society that's getting back to that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's community gardens, which are great. But, you know, we've gotten away from growing our own vegetables, raising our own meat, doing all of those things that, you know, I joke about the zombie apocalypse. But if the zombie apocalypse hits, or any kind of apocalypse, most of us are going to be screwed because we can't live without a microwave.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to do that. But then I struggle with the fact that the stuff that I would can or preserve or what have you, I wouldn't eat. So, like, I have this great, beautiful image in my head of, like, making, like, wonderful strawberry preserves. Mm. I don't eat preserves in general, but I don't like strawberries, so I'm not sure where this image came from, but it just looks so great.
It's so pretty. My grandmother made the best strawberry freezer jam. It was so good. My mother used to can growing up.
Right.
I actually wrote a report. She jokingly said you should write a report on, because I was watching her can peaches or pears one day, and she jokingly said you should write a report. So me, being the dorky child I was, went outside in the summer with my little notebook and wrote how to can peaches.
That's so cute.
So I know how.
Right.
I've just never done it as an adult by myself.
Hmm.
So
that sounds a bit sketchy.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit sort of like, I totally could do it. I don't feel like it.
I mean, I wrote a report on it once.
Right.
That my mom graded. Totally got an A on that.
Yeah. But like, one of the sayings I love is after lunch sleep a while, after dinner walk a mile.
Which, yeah, we don't do that here
either. We don't. And I remember reading a thing where there was an article, because my major was very social and sociological based, mm-hmm. about how, you know, Mexican and Latino workers who take siestas aren't lazy. That's actually a really smart idea, especially coming from where they come, and that's the like hottest part of the day.
Yeah,
that was a brilliant like cultural move to, you know, not die of heat exhaustion.
Yeah,
but also just that, A, you are tired, but then B, at dinner to walk after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard that, I don't know why, it sort of made me think of just Pride and Prejudice. Because I guess Lizzie walks a lot. So it's like that's my thought of how to get me out. Oh, I have to go out and walk, you know, after dinner, like the Bennets, because what they did.
The one sister walks in the rain and almost dies. It's terrible.
She rode a horse in the rain.
But still.
That's different. It's the horse's fault.
It's the horse's fault. That one always cracks me up. She was in the rain, and then she's like almost on death's door.
Well, you know, they didn't have a lot of medicine back then. They didn't. So.
I love Jane Austen. Don't get me wrong. I love Jane Austen.
Or like another one I really love, and I had totally heard this before I saw this book, but I still never did it, partly because of my schedule, was breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, dinner like a pauper.
Hmm.
Although they sometimes say, I think it's, they'll change it, maybe supper, if you use the term supper, which I had never even heard till I was like 14, and I was like, what the heck is that?
Oh my goodness.
Dinner, it's definitely a regionalism
yes.
sort of thing. But this idea that A, you shouldn't eat very late, and we talked about that on a previous episode about sleeping, of don't eat too close to mm-hmm. bedtime, mm-hmm. but also it's not giving your body a chance to, you know, use those calories for anything, so it's just going to store them.
Right.
But then also, the idea is if you set your food up to be, I was going to say rational, in ratio, mm-hmm. proportion to the other meals, since most people aren't very hungry in the morning, if you're only eating so much at breakfast and that's your king meal, everything else has to be lesser. So you're just automatically eating less.
Once you get into the habit, right? I mean, right. I would assume that at the beginning, if you're really used to a huge breakfast or something, you'd be starving. But you have something in here about water, and there's all kinds of studies on water, but it's simple things like drinking a glass, 8-ounce glass of water before bed reduces mm-hmm. your risk of, because most things like heart attacks happen at night.
Mm-hmm.
So like drinking just an 8-ounce glass of water before bed can drastically reduce your risks of certain health problems that happen at night. Drinking an 8-ounce glass of water when you wake up then helps you with other mm-hmm. risks. And that one's a tough one for me because I'm not thirsty whatsoever when I wake up in the morning. But when I take my allergy pill, I try to drink. I'm like, okay, drink some more water while you're taking your allergy pill just because it's good for you.
Well, part of the, I want to say it's in Japan, but it might just be in numerous places in Asia. Part of their thing of why they have such great skin is the drinking a full glass of water in the morning thing. They think flushes out toxins or something.
Mm-hmm.
But also I remember hearing, and I still struggle so much to do this, that if you think you're hungry, drink a glass of water. And wait about 20 minutes because it might actually be thirst, even though I'm just like, that makes no sense in my head. But science says so. So
we're often dehydrated when we think we're hungry.
Yes. But I also really do try to drink a glass of water before eating a meal. Mm-hmm. To sort of take away some of the room in my stomach, so I'll eat less. But I only really remember to do this when I'm out at, like, restaurants.
Right.
Because they give me a glass of water. If I have to get it myself, I always forget it. Yeah. But then I always, when I think of that, I think of the scene from Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood.
Where one?
she says of, like, someone should go to the bathroom because that will get her food better. And then she drugs me. I'm like, that.
Oh, yeah,
so if I drink my water, that'll bring my food faster. Somehow that's how that got together in my head, like segment or whatever you said earlier. Those two went together and made drink water to get food faster.
And your yayas won't drug you while you're in the bathroom, hopefully.
Right. Well, okay. That wouldn't be my fault either. But then a lot of other things of just like daily habits of taking a walk every day. Again, I always have to think of myself as Elizabeth Bennet to do that because Lizzie would totally walk every day.
I have dogs and normally that would make you take a walk every day, but our dogs have a big backyard and they don't actually go for walks to go to the bathroom like some dogs. I know some dogs who will not go in their own yard. They have to go for a walk. My dogs will not go on a walk. They'll sniff everything, but we do not go for walks for bathroom purposes. So I don't have that built-in excuse. They love to go though, so that's fun.
Maybe when you step outside to check the mail, just make that a longer walk. Go the opposite route, take the long way to the mailbox.
I've done that before. And, you know, I've tried I don't have a Fitbit, but I have a knockoff Fitbit. So trying to do the 10,000 steps a day and those kinds of things. So there's other ways to get it in. But
I also like the either sort of learn a new language or learn a musical instrument to keep your brain sharp sort of thing. So that's my new, even though I try not to have resolutions, New Year's resolutions.
Right.
I'm going to try and alternate that. So one year it'll be a new language and the next year it'll be a new musical instrument. So I do each for 2 years because it feels like 1 year I'm like, I'm not going to get anything. I will end that year and go on to the next one and not be, because I did 3 years of Spanish in high school and I can't say almost anything in Spanish.
Yeah.
So clearly I need more than definitely 1 year to get anywhere close to sounding not like a terrible American stereotype. But then also read every day, which is
not hard.
Not hard for us.
For the two of us. Yeah.
No, that is, we've had that habit for many, many years, but for others, because that also keeps your brain fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But then also to stop looking at screens an hour before bed.
Yeah.
That's really hard. I've done that for an experiment and it did totally help my sleep. But then because of my schedule and the fact that I take public transportation, which gives me a lot of reading time, but doesn't give me a lot of, hey, things I need to do on the computer time because my computer is at home and it takes me a while to get there. I don't get home till later and then get on the computer. It's just like I have stuff to do and it takes longer than I'd like. So on the computer till like, you know, 5 minutes before I want to go to sleep.
Right. Or I read before bed. So if I'm reading an ebook, doesn't really work so well. It's on a screen.
See, this is why ebooks are terrible.
Well,
that whole reason right there. I'm just going
to. They are, but I try to counterbalance they're terrible with I'm saving trees.
I feel you should counterbalance it with this is why Hermione's bag needs to be invented. To cancel out ebooks so we can carry all the books we want with us without problems.
Wherever we go.
Science, get on that. That's a very, very strange note to end on, but I yes. do hope these, not even hip, tips, hips.
Just.
Health advice tips, hips.
One of us may have had a stroke during this podcast. I'm not sure.
Stroke. But we like putting words together, evidently.
Yes, we do.
For some reason. I hope that all of our favorite things could be somewhat helpful to the listeners or to form new habits, if nothing else. Not even our habits, but just your own new habits.
Get thinking about what might work for you.
Yes. So on that note, thank you for joining us, however many episodes, hopefully the 100. If not, thank you for joining us on our 100th, which is very special. And I hope we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.